from Charlotte, North Carolina, the Bible Answer Man broadcast hosted by Hank Hanegraaff is on the air because truth matters. Truth is under siege, but why? Perhaps it's because in part, as Bertrand Russell, author of Why I'm Not a Christian, quipped, most Christians would rather die than think. In fact, they do. Welcome to day two of our special programs focusing on our exclusive CRI resource, What is Truth?, the best of the Christian Research Journal, where you will be equipped to know, think, and act with confidence about the concept and reality of truth in the Christian life. To receive the best of the best from the journal now in a hardcover book and edited by Christian Research Institute President Hank Hanegraaff, call 888-7000-274 or go online at www.equip.org. And now here is Hank Hanegraaff.
One of my favorite C.S. Lewis quotes is when he wrote that this world is enemy-occupied territory. It's what the world is. And Christianity, he said, is the story of how the rightful king has landed in disguise and he's calling us all to take part in a great campaign of sabotage. How radically different the tone of that battle cry than a definition of a conservative that was recently heard in the U.S. elections. A conservative is one who sits and thinks, but mainly sits. What all of us have to understand is truth is under siege. And God's not called us to sit for truth. He's called us to stand for truth. For those Christians who feel the pressure of today's totalitarian tolerance and the implicit demand for impartiality when it comes to truth, consider the words of Chesterton. Impartiality, he said, is a pompous name for indifference, which is an elegant name for ignorance. We need to study so we will not be ignorant of truth. We need to present ourselves to God as those approved workmen who do not need to be ashamed, who correctly handle the word of truth. And we need to pray. Prayer is firing the winning shot. And we need to consider standing together, standing with a ministry like the Christian Research Institute, through the journal, the Bible Answer Man broadcast, the increasingly diverse and far-reaching, potent media channels in our arsenal for truth. It's all a labor of love to help you. In fact, Christians everywhere, to equip them to stand for truth, not timidly, not reluctantly, boldly, confidently, being able to answer questions with laser clarity, to withstand the challenges that are being posed all too often to ill-prepared Christians. One of the subjects that I am passionate about is the subject of truth. And that's why we've put together a book. It's small, but it is one of the most incredible resources. It's the best of the Christian Research Journal on truth. And we want to make it available to you for your gift to keep this ministry reaching around the world. You can order it on the World Wide Web in a safe, secure fashion. You can order it at Post Office Box 8500, Charlotte, North Carolina, zip code 28271. Or simply talk to our resource consultants at 888-7000 CRI. But order it. Be prepared in the battle for truth. One of the great articles in this book, What is Truth?, was written by Sean McDowell. And it's an article on doctrine. And the importance of essential Christian doctrine is hard to overemphasize. They're the very doctrines that form the line of demarcation between the kingdom of Christ and the kingdom of the cults. Essential Christian doctrine is the North Star. It's the very North Star by which the course of Christianity is set. It's an unchanging reference point. And it has been the element that has safely guided the church through doctrinal storms. Essential Christian doctrine, at the bottom line, is the foundation on which the gospel of Jesus Christ rests, from his deity to the certainty that he is going to appear a second time to judge the living and the dead. Essential Christian doctrine is foundational to the gospel. Look, all other religions, they compromise, they confuse, or they contradict essential Christian doctrine. Think of the Muslims. They dogmatically denounce the doctrine of Christ's unique deity. In fact, they call it the unforgivable sin of shirk. They'll admit the sinlessness of Christ, but deny his sacrifice on the cross and his resurrection as the only hope of salvation. We need to be familiar with essential Christian doctrine. It needs to be part of the warp and woof of who you are. And that is why I'm delighted to have Sean McDowell on the broadcast as we speak to talk about this article that is part of What is Truth, the best of the Christian Research Journal. It's a viewpoint article, and it's about the doctrine debate. And it answers the question, why doctrine matters more than ever. Sean, good to have you with us.
Hank, it's good to be with you again.
When we talk about doctrine, a lot of people think, look, this is a dirty word. Experience is a better teacher than doctrine, and a man with an experience is never at the mercy of a man with a doctrine. And therefore, experience is more important than doctrine. What do you say?
Well, the problem is that, as you and I know, people might have the same experience, but they will interpret it in very different ways. So experience is powerful. I believe Christians should share their testimony. I believe that people can know God exists by experiencing the Holy Spirit. But the Bible never pits experience against doctrine. It's always both. It's orthodoxy, which is correct belief, and orthopraxy, which is correct practice. I mean, I've been reading 1 John in my devotions, and a theme I picked up on, which kind of is obvious, but I've been missing it, is that he talks about correct belief in there. I mean, the Antichrist are those who reject that Jesus came in the flesh. But then he talks about correct practice and a correct experience, which is, he says, if you don't love, then you're called God a liar. So to me, what I see in the scripture, it's always correct belief and it's correct practice. And we get in trouble when we favor one over the other.
I love what the Apostle Paul writes in Timothy. He says, don't let anyone look down at you because you're young, but set an example for the believers in speech and life and love and faith and in purity until I come. Devote yourself to the public reading of Scripture, to preaching and to teaching. And then he says this, do not neglect your gift, which was given you through a prophetic message with a body of elders laid their hands on you. There's an experience. Be diligent in these matters. Give yourself wholly to them so that everyone may see your progress. And then these words, watch your life and doctrine closely. Persevere in them, because if you do, you'll save both yourself and your hearers. You've made the point in the article in What is Truth? You say that much of the problem today is not with doctrine per se, but with our failure to connect doctrine to real life. And that seems to be precisely what Paul is telling Timothy.
I think you're right. I think that's exactly what Paul's point is. I mean, experience without doctrine is ambiguous. Doctrine without experience is hollow. It has to be both. So there's certain churches I see in a lot of places that just teach doctrine, 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 truth, truth, truth. But they never connect that truth into kids' lives. So that truth is incarnated in the way that they live. And ironically enough, and you state this in the opening section on truth, you said Jesus is truth, you know, which corresponds to reality. But you also state that all truth is grounded in the character and in the nature of God. So one of the sad things that I've seen in kind of my generation, and you've seen this in some of the discussions about the emergent church, is that people have been so quick to write off all doctrine. Well, the problem is not doctrine. The problem is that we've taught it, but we haven't shown people, okay, here's how the incarnation relates to how you see yourself. Here's how the understanding, a correct understanding of God's sovereignty relates to the way I look at myself, or the resurrection, how I face death. And to me, I work with young people, and when they teach doctrine, it's interesting to them, but when I say, okay, we've just talked about heaven, you know how this affects the way that you live in your relationships? That's where I see young people come alive. So it just breaks my heart that when I see so many people of my generation want to throw out doctrine, I say, no, that's part of the power of the gospel. We just have to connect that to how people live.
You quote some pretty interesting statistics in your article in the Doctrine Debate. You point out that conservative Protestant youth, 23%, are not sure of the existence of miracles, 33% maybe or definitely believe in reincarnation. That's a staggering statistic. And 41% disagree with the statement that people should practice only one faith. We have today this move towards inclusivism. It's not right to say there's only one way. How do you counter that?
Well, you're right. One of the first things that I say with young people when they say, you know, how can you say Jesus is the only way? I say, well, first off, Jesus is the one who's saying that, not me. If he really rose from the dead, if he really did miracles, if he was really God in human flesh, then it seems that his worldview and understanding of reality kind of trumps mine. So I might not like it. I might be uncomfortable with it. But don't you think you and I should take seriously what he said about the world? And then I always point out, I say, look, Jesus is not the only one that claimed to be his worldview to be true. Muslims claim to be true. And like you said earlier, the Doctrine of Shirk, they think all Christians are going to hell. Atheists think we're wrong. Every worldview, by definition, is exclusive. Truth is exclusive, as this book talks about. That's the nature of truth. So I just try to get kids to think about it and realize that their beliefs profoundly shape the way that they live. And, you know, when it shows that Pew poll, I'm sure you saw recently, that about 70% of Americans believe there's more than one way to get to God. Mm-hmm. And, in fact, 48% of conservative Protestant teenagers believe that there may be more than one way to get to salvation. Now, why do I care about that as a teacher and as a parent? Because why would a young person have any convictions and resist temptation or share his or her faith if they think there's more than one way to get to God? So that's why proper doctrine and truth powerfully translates into the way that we live.
Again, your topic is on doctrine, and one of the areas that you broach is the issue of doctrine and divisiveness. Isn't doctrine divisive, Sean?
I hear that somewhat frequently, probably from young writers about my age, just criticizing doctrine. They say, well, look, we have different denominations. We have people arguing over different truths. Can't we all just get along? And I think what's happened is I think there's been an elevation of unity above truth. There's been an elevation of unity above truth. And part of that, to be honest with you, Hank, is that a lot of people today, even young leaders, have some emotional wounding and hurt behind them. And what happens is they've been hurt. So this idea of divisiveness is very hard for them to deal with. So they're willing to elevate unity at the expense of truth. But when we look at the example of Jesus, I think we see that he has a balance between the two. He strives for unity, but he never sacrifices truth. So the bottom line to your answer is doctrine is not divisive. People are. And people are fallen. And the problem is not to get rid of doctrine. The right solution is to teach what the Bible really says about unity, what it really says about the nature of man, focus on the essentials, but also have graciousness on the non-essentials.
We're talking to Sean McDowell. He's an author. He's a conference speaker. He's the son of Josh McDowell, and proud of it, and good reason to be proud of it. And I was talking to Josh the other day, and he is very proud of what his son is accomplishing and is amazed by some of his insights, as am I. He has contributed to the book that we are making available to you right now. It's called What is Truth? The Best of the Christian Research Journal. For your gift to keep this ministry circling the globe, this is a great time if you've never contributed to this ministry to take the first step. This is one of the peak times in which we need your support. June is one of those months. It's a seminal month for this ministry. It's a month in which we determine what we can do in the next 6 months, how many stations we can continue on, which stations have to be cut. We have to make the decisions on the basis of the support that comes into the ministry during the month of June. So if you can stand with us, it will make a tremendous difference in the lives of real people for time and for eternity. You can let me know if you're standing with me prayerfully and financially on the World Wide Web at equip.org, or just call 888-7000-CRI. Be right back with Sean McDowell.
If Truth and resources like What is Truth, the hundreds of research articles available for free on our website, and the Bible Answer Man broadcast are important to you, we need your help. Today is the end of our fiscal year, and we want to expand all of our available resources in this next year for your equipping, but we can do that only through your prayerful and financial support. If you're a regular supporter, we thank you for your continued commitment and ask you to consider giving a special one-time gift above your regular commitment. And if you've never supported the Christian Research Institute but have reaped the benefits of our research articles, the Bible Answer Man broadcast, and countless other resources, please consider supporting the ongoing work to bring you much more of what you've already received. You can do so safely and securely online at equip.org, or our resource consultants are happy to assist you when you call 888-7000-CRI. The Bible Answer Man will continue in just a moment. Master the main and plain things of historic Christianity in minutes and remember them for a lifetime. Memorable Keys to Essential Christian Doctrine is a user-friendly guide to doctrines that form the dividing line between the kingdom of Christ and the kingdom of the cults using the hankronym DOCTRINE. D stands for Deity of Christ, O for Original Sin, C for Canon of Scripture, T for Trinity, R for Resurrection, I for Incarnation, N for New Creation, and E for Eschatology. To order Memorable Keys to Essential Christian Doctrine in an accessible, fully laminated, and easy-to-use flip chart that you can use to communicate boldly and confidently with precision and clarity, call 888-7000-CRI. That's 888-7000-274. Or go to www.equip.org. That's equip.org. We live in arguably the greatest civilization in the history of the world, and yet we could be looking at its very demise. Four horsemen of this modern-day apocalypse bring plagues that could mean the fall of this civilization. Hank Hanegraaff describes how each of these horsemen could bring down the very society in which we live, and how we as Christians must live in the midst of this 21st century apocalypse in his special message titled, The Four Horsemen of the 21st Century Apocalypse. To equip yourself to live as a change agent for Christ in the culture rather than conforming to it, order your copy of Hank's latest message now on DVD or CD when you call our resource consultants at 888-7000-CRI. That's 888-7000-274. Or go online to equip.org. That's equip.org. Do you use software programs to prepare your taxes, store and display photos, or create music playlists? Have you considered software for your Bible? GLOW is an interactive Bible resource that allows users to explore and experience the Bible in a whole new way. Imagine studying the timeline of Jesus' ministry, following Paul's journeys on interactive maps, touring the Holy Land, reading articles on marriage, money, and work, and creating your own Bible reading plan, all from one software program. You'll experience the Bible in a whole new way with GLOW, a Bible for the digital world, complete with over 2,000 high-resolution photos, 7,000 articles, 460 virtual reality tours, 147 maps, and timelines. You can order your copy of GLOW today online at equip.org, or by calling the Christian Research Institute toll-free at 1-888-7000-CRI. can you apply truth to your life? This means getting into the Word of God so that the Word of God can get into you. Hank has developed the acronym MEALS to equip you. M is for memorize. Knowing Scripture through memorization helps you meditate on and enjoy God's Word. E is for examine. Use your mind to honor God and examine teachings in the light of Scripture. A is for apply. Take the knowledge you glean from the Word of God and apply it to every aspect of your life. L is for listen. Listen carefully as God speaks to you through the mystery of His Word. And S is for study. Study so that you might handle the Word of God correctly and stand, not sit, on truth. To receive What is Truth, call 888-7000-CRI or go online at www.equip.org. And now, here's Bible Answer Man host, Hank Hanegraaff.
If we fail to eat well-balanced meals on a regular basis, we're going to eventually suffer the physical consequences. And of course, what is true of the outer man is also true of the inner man. If we don't regularly feed on the Word of God, we're going to suffer spiritual consequences. I love what Jesus said. He says that man does not live by bread alone, but by every word that comes from the mouth of God. And great physical meals are one thing. Great spiritual meals are quite another. But to have a spiritual meal, it means getting into the Word of God and getting the Word of God into you. Talking to Sean McDowell, and Sean is stressing the importance of essential Christian doctrine in the book, What is Truth, which we're making available to you right now when you give us a call at 888-7000-CRI or log into the World Wide Web at equip.org. You can also write me at Box 8500, Charlotte, North Carolina, zip code 28271. Sean, the main and the plain things of Scripture are garnered by getting into the Word of God.
Yeah, you know what? It's oftentimes when we just jump into the Scriptures and kind of get over the fact that we're intimidated sometimes and it feels like a different historical period, or we worry, boy, it was written in Greek or Hebrew, and we just get in and we start reading it, then the essentials come alive, and I think they translate into our lives. And those are the doctrines that I think get into the way we live and into what we believe and just start to shape the way we live and become, like you said, more like Jesus.
One of the things you point out is that there is an incredible danger in adopting incorrect doctrines or a simple misrepresentation of what essential Christian doctrine is.
Well, I work with students in particular, and one of the examples I give is just, you know, say a false view on heaven. I mean, recently I asked my students, I said this, I said, if you had just 3 days to live, what would you do? And you know what a bunch of their answers were? They're like, I would skydive. They're like, I would go scuba diving. I would travel the world. And I realized that in so many of their minds, they felt like if they didn't experience certain things now, they were going to miss out on it when it got to heaven. Now, you think about teenagers, and you think about, you know, how rampant sexuality is. Some young people think, well, I just better experience this now before I get to heaven because I'm going to miss out. And I realized that I wasn't even teaching them a proper view of heaven, because the real view of heaven is there is nothing in this world that we won't experience, that we can't experience, or something else that is equal to or even greater in a different way. So practically, even the way kids live, if they don't understand heaven, they don't understand the character of God, they don't understand the nature of salvation, it filters its way down into just practical decisions they make on a day-by-day basis.
Let's talk about the cornerstone in the historic Christian faith, the resurrection. You and your dad have both done a great job in defending the resurrection of Jesus Christ. But to your point, believing in the resurrection is not a stale, sterile doctrine. It has a great implication on how we live our lives and what we do, because if, in fact, Christ rose from the dead, we know that we will rise from the dead. And if that is true, then we no longer have to fear the world. We don't have to be politically correct. We don't have to live for prosperity. We don't want to live for our own platform. We can live for something greater. We can live for eternity, and therefore we can testify even to the point of shedding our own blood, because we know we will live again.
You know, when you look at Paul's writings in Philippians, he talks about living in the power of the resurrection. That it's not this stale belief from 2,000 years ago I simply believe and categorize in my mind, but it transforms my life. And I think what he's talking about is when we really grasp the fact in the core of our being that this life is not all that there is, and that whatever happens to me here, that I will spend eternity in heaven with God, that perspective that's out in front directing my life shapes the way I live right now. And I see young people get that sometimes. I'll see young people who start to realize that. You know what they'll do? Instead of sitting at lunch with all their friends who are popular, they might say, you know what, I don't care what people think about me. I'm going to go talk with that kid who's left out. I'm going to go talk with that person who's being made fun of, because they gain an eternal perspective and realize the dignity in human beings that Jesus Christ died for. And I think it's that belief. It's ultimately where courage comes from. It's where conviction comes from to live out the Christian faith. And ultimately, like you said, I mean, the Christian faith was founded on people. Why did they die for their belief? Because they knew that somebody could destroy their body, but their soul was eternal, and they would be resurrected with Christ. And I personally think that persecution is going to increase in a few years and decades. And that's why I do a lot of work in the resurrection, because I want people to realize that they can persecute us. They can challenge us. But if we believe in the resurrection, we will have the last day, and that God will raise us up again.
And a lot of people will say, Sean, it is irrational to believe that you can have life come from death, and therefore to suppose that someone died and came back to life simply does not fit in a modern world, or even a postmodern world in which we know that philosophical naturalism is the bedrock of truth. Of course, you have to choose your poison, because if you say that death cannot bring forth life, or that a dead person can't come to life, you have to say at some point that non-life can produce life, that nothing can produce something, which is a bigger stretch. And the bottom line here is that Christians believe in supernaturalism. Because we're open-minded, we want to consider the evidence wherever it leads. And we don't want to be closed-minded and think that naturalism can explain all things. We want to be open to the truth of both naturalism and supernaturalism. As someone that teaches students, how important is it for you to teach people to truly be open-minded, not just look at the world through the lens of philosophical naturalism?
Well, philosophical naturalism, I think, is a poison of the soul, and it's a poison of our culture. And the interesting thing is it's often philosophical naturalists who say they're the most open-minded, and they're the most rational, and they're most, scientific people. But the reality is it's actually those who are theists and Christians who say, all right, we're open to natural causes, but we're also open to intelligent causes. Let's follow the evidence wherever it leads. And that's why Christians, if there was a natural explanation for everything, you and I would cash in our chips and we would give it up. But there's certain things about this world, whether it's the origin of life or the information in the cell, like you mentioned, the fine-tuning of the laws of physics, consciousness, morality, the resurrection, there's all these basic things that just simply, not only are they not explained by naturalism, but they cannot be. And the way I relate this to my students is I start to talk about things like the soul. The soul is not physical, and it has no place in a philosophical, naturalistic worldview. But the soul is very real, and it's a part of who I am. And I think young people, when they're called to love God with their hearts and their minds and their souls, when they realize, I just gave a talk on this last night, when they realize that the soul is real and we have good evidence for it, I think it can actually change the way a kid treats people. It can change a way a kid looks at themselves, realizing they're not just their body, they are their soul. So to me, naturalism just destroys everything of where beauty comes from, and I can't think of very many things as important or more important than helping kids to realize that non-physical things, whether it's the soul or demons or God, are very real, and what we believe about them shapes our eternal experience, but also our present-day experience right here on Earth.
Sean, just listening to your voice, I can hear and sense the passion You love doctrine. You love truth. Speak to our audience for just a moment about the relevance of truth, the relevance of doctrine, and why you as a young man can be so poignantly passionate about truth.
You know, I've heard from a whole lot of people that write about this generation that kids do not care about reason anymore. They don't care about truth. And I actually found myself believing that for a little while, and it affected my ministry. And then I can't believe any more strongly not only that that is false, but that's a destructive belief that is just almost a belief from the enemy trying to destroy effective ministry today. Look, I tell my students that I'm going to have a test in a few days, and they give me 50 reasons and try to argue with me why I shouldn't. Kids are reasonable, and they're seeking for answers about the world. And I have found that when there's an adult, not an adult who has all the answers, not an adult who just pretends that they have everything figured out, but who says, I care about you, you are important to me, and I'm willing to explore important topics about God, about the Bible, about reality. And let's talk about how these translate into your life. You know what, Hank? I found kids that come alive. And I found that when they understand heaven, they look at the world a little bit differently. I found when they understand the resurrection, they gain a little bit more courage and conviction and willingness to stand up for a kid who's being bullied. You know, I found that when kids really understand that Jesus is God, it can translate many ways into how they pray. So as somebody who's been working with youth about 15 years, I could not be more committed to doctrine, but it always has to be balanced with relationships, and we always have to ask, what does this mean? So I guess my last encouragement is you don't have to have it all together. You don't have to have it all figured out. Youth are just looking for somebody to step in with a little bit more wisdom, ask them good questions, guide them, and I am so confident that God will use you in a powerful way in the life of a young person.
Sean McDowell, he is a contributor to the book that we're talking about, What is Truth? It's the best of the Christian Research Journal. Thanks for your contribution and your passion, Sean.
Hey, thank you for what you're doing. Keep it up.
God bless you, my friend. And truth is anything that corresponds to reality. As such, truth doesn't yield to the size and strength of the latest lobby group. Nor is truth merely a matter of preference or opinion. Truth is true, even if everybody denies it. A lie is a lie, even if everybody affirms it. Truth is essential to a realistic worldview. And when sophistry and sensationalism and superstition sabotage truth, our view of reality is seriously skewed. The death of truth spells the death of civilization. I want you to get the book, What is Truth? It's the best of the Christian Research Journal. For your gift to the ministry of the Christian Research Institute, we need you to stand with us prayerfully and financially. We want to send this out to you to equip you in the battle for truth. Check it out on the World Wide Web at equip.org or write to me at Post Office Box 8500, Charlotte, North Carolina, zip code 28271. We'll be right back with your questions in just a moment.
It will come as no surprise to even casual observers that truth, as we have known it, is under siege. Assailed on multiple fronts by a seemingly endless barrage of isms, postmodernism, relativism, experientialism, hedonism, and philosophical naturalism, just to name a few. To many Christians, truth has apparently become less and less defensible, and the sweet poison of relativism has become more seductive. Become equipped with answers when you order What is Truth? Compiled by Hank Hanegraaff as our thank you for your gift today when you call 888-7000-CRI. Or better yet, go online to our secure website at www.equip.org. Gutenberg rocked the medieval world with the invention of the printing press, and we're in the midst of a digital revolution for the Bible with Glow Bible Software. With just a click of a button, walk the Holy Lands, view artwork depicting Bible stories, read articles related to topical issues, explore maps, follow study notes, and create your own reading plan. Glow is the Bible for a digital generation. And now you can order Glow from CRI by going to our website at equip.org or by calling one of our resource consultants at 888-7000-CRI. Don't touch that dial. We'll be right back with more of the show.
Now, more than ever, today's believer who wants to stay informed on today's religious movements and scriptural insights needs to subscribe to the Christian Research Journal. Here's what you'll find in the latest issue of the Christian Research Journal.
Avatar, the special effects extravaganza movie by James Cameron, has just recently become the number one box office blockbuster of all time. Clearly, this historic movie is resonating with tens of millions of people around the planet. However, it is not merely special effects entertainment. It is cult-like in its effect. In this issue, we examine the impact pagan worldviews such as the one portrayed in Avatar are having not only on our culture, but the entire world. You'll also find insightful articles on the attempt to explain faith and morality using neuroscience, animists viewed as model environmentalists, and much more.
Call CRI and start your subscription today, 888-7000-CRI. You'll also see it online at equip.org.
Multitudes of Christians have been given a wildly distorted understanding of the biblical teaching about faith. In the late 20th century, Word of Faith teachers such as Kenneth Hagin and Benny Hinn were at the fore.
The Bible declares clearly that faith is a force.
In the early 21st century, they are overshadowed by a new breed of prosperity preachers with rock star platforms like Joel Osteen and Paula White.
God said to challenge the people to give $66.12 according to Psalm 66:12. When you put your faith with the word, then you have mandated results.
Hank gives hope and truth to the millions trapped in the faith movement in his landmark book, Christianity in Crisis, 21st Century. To get your copy of Christianity in Crisis, 21st Century, call 888-7000-CRI or go online at www.equip.org. Don't forget to ask about the autographed and limited leather editions.
From Genesis to Revelation, every word of the New King James Bible is performed in dramatic audio theater by over 500 actors and narrated by Michael York.
In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth.
With sound design by one of the top studios in the industry and scored with original music composed and conducted by Maestro Stefano Manetti. The Word of Promise audio Bible puts the listener in the moment when Moses leads the children of Israel, Daniel walks into the lion's den, and when Jesus lives as man here on earth.
Order the Word of Promise audio Bible on CD or MP3 from CRI by calling 888-7000-274 or online at equip.org.
What is truth? This is the very question that Pontius Pilate asked Jesus. In the irony of the ages, Pilate stood toe-to-toe with the embodiment of truth and yet missed his reality. Postmodern people are in much the same position. They stare truth in the face but fail to recognize it. To equip you to show those around you that truth is real and objective and that Jesus Christ is truth, we have created What is Truth? The best of the Christian Research Journal. This resource includes the best articles from the Christian Research Journal concerning truth, a foreword and afterword by Hank Hanegraaff, and study questions. To order What is Truth, call our resource consultants toll-free at 888-7000-CRI or go to our website at equip.org. Also, If Truth and resources like What is Truth, the hundreds of research articles available for free on our website and the Bible Answer Man broadcast are important to you, we need your help. Today is the end of our fiscal year, and we want to expand all of our available resources in this next year for your equipping, but we can do that only through your prayerful and financial support. If you're a regular supporter, we thank you for your continued commitment and ask you to consider giving a special one-time gift above your regular commitment. And if you've never supported the Christian Research Institute but have reaped the benefits of our research articles, the Bible Answer Man broadcast, and countless other resources, please consider supporting the ongoing work to bring you much more of what you've already received. You can do so safely and securely online at equip.org, or our resource consultants are happy to assist you when you call 888-7000-CRI. That translates to 888-7000-274. And as always, you can write to us at P.O. Box 8500, Charlotte, North Carolina 28271. And thank you for your generous support. Now, back to the Bible Answer Man and your host, Hank Hanegraaff.
When I recognize that this ministry is spending millions of dollars to be broadcasting the Bible Answer Man broadcast throughout the world, when you think of the primary research that is done, the cost of operating a ministry like this is staggering. And quite frankly, every time we come to the end of our fiscal year, I wonder, Lord, are we going to make it once again this year? Of course, the Lord has been faithful for one decade, two decades. In fact, He's been faithful going all the way back to 1960. But He's being faithful through people just like you. God ordains the ends as well as the means, and you are the means through which people have been impacting the world through the ministry of the Christian Research Institute. And we pray that you'll continue to stand with us prayerfully and financially. The challenge this month is great, and we need you to stand with us. If you can't give, pray. Prayer is firing the winning shot. If you can give, please give generously. We not only need to eliminate the debt, we need to pull up the anchor so that we can sail towards the vision. And to do that, it takes people just like you. If you've never supported the ministry, it'd be a great time to do it. Again, as my thanks, I'd love to send you What is Truth, the best of the Christian Research Journal on the topic of truth. It's available when you write me at Box 8500, Charlotte, North Carolina, zip code 28271. You can see it online at equip.org and order in a safe, secure fashion, or just talk to our resource consultants, 888-7000-CRI. Let's go to the phone lines, talk to Dwayne. He's listening on KCCV, Kansas City, Missouri. Hi, Dwayne.
Hi, Hank. I think you could do this 24/7.
I'd love to, actually.
I saw you in Raytown a couple years ago, and you were in person, and people just flocked to the microphones to talk to you. Hank, when we refer to Jesus as the Son of God, that's a direct reference to His deity, right?
Yes, it is.
Okay, well, I was reading in Luke 3, the genealogy of Jesus from Joseph back to Adam, and when I got to Adam, it referred to him as a son of God.
Yeah, and there's a reason for that. What's really cool about this is, as you've pointed out, it's a genealogy of Jesus, who is, in Scripture, the second Adam. Now, we have to recognize that words are not univocal, they're equivocal, and that goes for phrases in Scripture as well. So what we have here is a type of Christ. Christ, of course, is in very nature God. But Adam, and there's an equivocation here, is God's son by virtue of being created in the image of God. So Christ is the very nature of God. Adam is the Son of God by virtue of being created in the image of God. And again, the thing that's really important about this is equivocation, because you have in the genealogy the beginning with the real Son of God. You have at the end the first Adam, who is made in the image of God and as such is the Son of God.
Okay. All right. So we could almost say Adam, the creation of God.
Yeah, Adam is God's son by virtue of being created in the image of God. So Adam is never God's son in the sense of ontological equality. It's not son by nature. We're adopted sons. We'll always be human beings. Jesus Christ is the only one who is in very nature God.
Okay. Okay.
And by the way, there's one other thing I want to say. The Bible also refers to us, to you and I, everyone who believes, as sons of God. And again, there's an equivocation there because we're not sons of God. Again, by nature, we're sons of God as adopted into the family of God.
Yeah, that's true. I hadn't even thought of that. That's true. Well, I appreciate the answer, and that does clear things up.
You got it, Dwayne. Thanks for your call. I want to go back to the phone lines, talk to Bill. He's listening in Camden, New Jersey, WFIL. Hi, Bill.
Hey, how you doing, Hank?
Doing well.
Bless your show. It's been very informative, and it's keeping me in the faith.
Oh, great.
But I have one question I wish to ask. It's a question about the Ten Commandments. God gave us the Ten Commandments knowing that we could not keep them. Why did he do that?
Well, that's a really good question, and I think there are a couple of basic things I'd say in answer to that question. The first is this, that the law is a manner or a means through which we maintain order in society. But that's not all. The law also reveals our sin before a holy God, and therefore reveals our need for a Savior. It's been said that the law is a schoolmaster that drives us to Jesus Christ, drives us to the need for a Savior. And then, of course, the law is also a guide for the believer to know the will of God in living out the Christian life. So there are various uses of the law. Does that help?
Plus Jesus even made the law even stronger by saying even if we physically didn't do wrong by that Ten Commandments, just thinking of it.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. A good point. I mean, in the following the Beatitudes, in the great sermon that Jesus Christ gave, the Sermon on the Mount, what does he do? But he ups the ante, doesn't he? You think that breaking the law with respect to murder is just killing another person? If you've thought a murderous thought, you've already committed murder in your heart, says Jesus Christ. So Jesus Christ, in the Sermon on the Mount, points to the utter inability of human beings to keep the law on their own accord. In fact, the disciples are befuddled by all of this, and they say, if that's true, how can anyone be saved? And the enigmatic response is simply this: with men, it's impossible. With God, all things are possible. Because, as I said, the law is the schoolmaster that drives us to Jesus Christ. We know we can't keep the law. And Christ gives to us as a gift of grace through faith in him alone. He gives us a foreign righteousness. It's not our own righteousness, it's his righteousness, and it's not a righteousness that is attained by keeping the law, but it is a righteousness that is attained through faith in Jesus Christ. And we're covered by that righteousness, and therefore we stand as the unrighteous before a righteous God, cloaked with the righteousness of Christ.
Okay. Well, thank you very much, Hank.
Hey, you got it. I want to go back to the phone lines, talk to Paula. She's listening at WMCA in Bayview, New Jersey. Hi, Paula.
Hi, Hank. Thank you for your show.
Oh, well, thanks
My
for participating.
My question is, does it say in the Bible that Christmas Day is Jesus' birthday?
No, not at all. If you're talking about December 25th, in fact, the Romans celebrated on December 25th a Saturnalia festival. It was at the close of December, and they thought that December 25 actually marked the date of the winter solstice, which they observed during that time, the pagan feast of Sol Invictus, which was the festival of the unconquerable sun, which was at the time just in the act of turning, about to aim northward once again. And of course, Christians at the time didn't want to take this and worship on the 25th as a pagan festival. No, what Christians wanted to do is to establish a rival celebration. So Christmas, by the way, Christ Mass would be a correct way of saying Christmas, Christ Mass, was designated then by the early Christian church as a spiritually edifying holiday or holy day, a day on which to proclaim the supremacy of the Son of God over the superstitions concerning these gods that the Romans had, like the god of agriculture or the unconquerable sun god. This was not true God. They pointed to the real God, Jesus Christ, who came in the incarnation. And therefore, what they did was established a rival celebration on December 25th.
A rival.
Yeah, it's a rival celebration. So again, the point is, the purpose was not to Christianize a time of pagan revelry. It was to establish a rival celebration. And that celebration celebrates the real King of Glory, the real Son of God, the real hope of humanity.
Thank you, Hank.
You got it. Thank you, Paul. I appreciate your call. We're out of time. Unfortunately, for this edition of the Bible Answer Man broadcast, we've been talking about this throughout the broadcast. What is truth? It's the best of the Christian Research Journal. It's a resource I want to put into your hand to equip you so you understand the meaning and the purpose and the very incredible power of knowing what truth is, particularly in a postmodern culture that really doesn't believe in objective truth. Postmodernism is dead set against the Christian worldview. And in light of that truth, you need to know the truth. What is truth? Available. It's the best of the Christian Research Journal for your gift to the Ministry of the Christian Research Institute. It's in hardback, a book I'll send out to you when you write me at Post Office Box 8500, Charlotte, North Carolina, zip code 28271. You can order online at equip.org or when you talk to our resource consultants at 888-7000 CRI. Please be generous. We need your support this month more than ever. Please stand with us prayerfully and financially. Together, as we stand for truth, we can literally make a difference, not only for time, but for eternity. So long for now.
We'd like to thank Sean McDowell for being our guest today. His excellent work on truth is included in the What is Truth resource. The Christian Research Journal is an award-winning magazine that has been published by the Christian Research Institute for over two decades. Now Hank has taken the very best articles in the journal on the topic of truth and published them in a book, What is Truth? The Best of the Christian Research Journal. The What is Truth resource includes a foreword and afterword by Hank along with study questions. To receive the best of the best from the journal now in book form, call 888-7000-CRI. That's 888-7000-274. Or go online at www.equip.org. That's equip.org. You can also write us at CRI P.O. Box 8500, Charlotte, North Carolina 28271. The Bible Answer Man is a production of the Christian Research Institute. We're on the air because truth matters. Master the defense of the resurrection in minutes and remember it for a lifetime with the latest release of the Hankronym series, Resurrection, Memorable Keys to the Greatest Feat in History. The resurrection of Jesus Christ is not merely important to the historic Christian faith. Without it, there would be no Christianity. To make the facts of the resurrection memorable and easily referenced, Hank has developed the Hankronym FEAT and created the second in a series of specifically designed flip charts. Laminated, tabbed, and sized to fit in your pocket, this incredible tool will allow you to defend the truth of the resurrection on a moment's notice. Available for your gift to the Christian Research Institute when you call 888-7000-CRI or when you go online to equip.org.
Let's go back to the phone lines, talk to Joe in Columbia, Missouri. Hi, Joe.
Hi, Hank. Thanks for taking my call.
My pleasure.
You've always appreciated the thoughtful, biblically-based answers you hear from Hank on the Bible Answer Man. Now you can benefit from Hank's input and instruction in your personal quiet times through the Legacy Study Bible. Hank Hanegraaff has assembled what could be the most helpful Bible you've ever read. Each book of the Bible begins with an introduction written by Hank, which means for each book you'll learn its L-E-G-A-C-Y. or location, essence, genre, author, context, and years. The entire Bible is crafted so that you can document your legacy of faith.
It's like including Hank in your Bible studies.
Order the Legacy Study Bible, edited by Hank Hanegraaff, by calling 888-7000-CRI or online at equip.org. Don't forget to ask about the personalized edition. Again, that's equip.org.